This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, free agency officially opens up on Friday. The association coming off the championship for the Nuggets as we welcome you back. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. It is Tuesday. That means our buddy Zach Harper, the talented athletic NBA writer, of course, the podcast host. How do you keep up with all your podcasts? Hoops and Hoes with Michelle Beadle on AMP. You've got Count the Dings, the athletic NBA show, Cinephobe. You host for SiriusXM. All the information at Talk Hoops, but how do you keep up with it? Like, is it just a calendar? How do you sleep? Because I have to ask you, night person, night owl, or morning person?
Definitely not a morning person, but I get up early because I'm paranoid I'm going to miss stuff. But I don't use too much of a calendar. I try to use, like, I got this chalkboard that I'm looking at right now that I try to write stuff on of what I need to do every day. And if I forget something, I get a text like, hey, where are you? We're recording right now. And I'm like, oh, right, I got to be on this thing. So, you know, it happens every once in a while.
Woof. I wonder if there's a chalkboard at Dame Lillard's house where he just puts an X next to be annoying today. X, I was annoying today. Like, it does feel like it's getting a little passive aggressive with the organization. I didn't realize Amal just told me that he didn't want the organization. I mean, it's redundancy. They play the same position. He didn't want the organization to draft Scoot. Are you hearing the same thing? And what do you think's going to happen with Lillard here? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it sounded like everything from the reporting and stuff I heard that he wanted to move that for someone who could help him win now, right? Which is understandable. If you're going to stay in Portland, like, sure, put some guys around me who can help me win. And that is just something that has not happened in a long time. And so this team is, you know, this team is in flux. Like, it's funny because Dame has had this kind of Teflon reputation forever in terms of, like, he doesn't really get hit for not winning that much in the playoffs. He doesn't really get hit that much for not playing defense. Like, we just kind of like Dame, but all of this in the middle, will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel thing that he's got going with the Blazers organization. There's a reference from 25 years ago, but that whole thing of like, who's going to request a trade first? Is it going to be the Blazers saying, all right, we need to move on from you? Or is it going to be Dame saying, please get me out of here? It's funny how the internet's finally getting sick of it, because when we have like a taste that we might get a big transaction, that's what we want. And they just kind of like just sitting in limbo right now, and the internet's starting to hate it.
I can't really blame them. Look, Dame's a great player, but Zach, do you see any situation or scenario where they'd be able to acquire enough pieces to be a competitive team? When you look out west with Denver, some of the other teams out there, I just don't see them being a contender. If he wants to play for contender, it's going to have to be somewhere else.
They tried to load up and make it a good team this year, and they ended up with the third pick because they stopped trying for like 2.5 months. Like, it's just this front off, like, they tried and it just didn't work. No, I don't see it. Like, let's say even if they got Draymond Green to agree to go there, it would be a massive help. It's not going to happen, but it'd be a massive help. But even that isn't going to right the ship enough to get them to be a title contender or a contender in the West. Like, it's just not there. And I don't trust this front office to make trades that try to beef up the roster. I don't think they've been good at it. I don't think they were good at the teardown. I don't think they've been good at trying to build it back up in a short amount of time. I do trust them to draft. They seem to know what they're doing when it comes to approaching the draft. So why not trade Dame for as many draft picks as you can get and then try to rebuild through that? That's where I think their success comes. But no, they're not going to put a team around Dame that does anything.
Zach Harper joining us here, Sharma. I think part of it, we're all obsessed with Dame in Portland because those of us that don't live in Portland aren't really sure the city exists. Like, follow me here for a second.
Oh,
like, Seattle,
no,
we know for sure is a legit city. But, like, Portland, is it really?
Patrick, no, Portland's got amazing food. They've got, you know, rain. They've got Nike. Like, you know, they've got all kinds of stuff. Portland's
craft
a good
beer.
City. Portland's in a craft beer, flannel. Like, Portland's got an incredible food scene. I'll give them that. But no wonder they should try to trade for Zion. Actually, they shouldn't trade for Zion.
But I think Patrick is right, though, in his assertion about Portland, right? The Blazers won the title in 77. And then until Phil Knight started kicking in that money to the football program, we didn't hear about Oregon for like 2.5 decades.
Yeah, they're just kind of up there chilling, you know. They make some good coffee and they make some cool donuts, and they got, you know, they just kind of exist on their own. Like, the Pacific Northwest is great. I love Portland. I think it's a great city. You know, the weather's a little tough if you want some sunshine all year round, but I think for the most part, they just haven't been in a position to add players, and so no one thinks of going there on their own.
Shout to Rick Adelman. Like, as a kid that grew up loving the Pistons, obviously, and the back-to-back 89-90, the second championship was over Clyde Drexler, Rick Adelman, and the Portland Trailblazers. Outside of that, but to be fair, it's kind of provincial. They have tremendous fans. Like, the Timbers, who I know people don't care about MLS outside of me, but the Timbers, it's just an insane crowd. It's a lit crowd. So, and hasn't there been talk about expansion them all as far as Major League Baseball? There's been talk about adding more professional teams there, no?
Yeah, Portland was one that's been talked about. Portland, Nashville, of course, are two that are kind of staples when you have these conversations and people try to leverage it against other cities where a team might want to move. Now, Tampa's going to be interesting because they're doing so well. They're probably not going anywhere, but we see the A's obviously appear to be coming to Las Vegas. Or they're going to be, rather, excuse me.
Let's Zach, all go to Portland. We'll have a weekend. Like, let's do it. Let's go as a show.
You got total Portland vibes. You could totally do Portland. You mentioned before we came on, you're just starting to sleep in a little bit because you work your ass off all NBA season. But you just seem like you and Boogie, it's raining outside. Just call it a day. Sleep the rest of the day. It doesn't matter. Emo.
He loves the rain. I do love to sleep. I've started sleeping again. It's been an incredible journey. For like, you. Did you know you can just keep sleeping? Like, yeah, you're going to miss texts and phone calls and emails and everything, but you can sleep as long as you want. Really, there are not that many repercussions, and it's an incredible thing. The other night I had a late night and an early morning because I had radio, and I only slept like 3.5 hours and I was dragging. And then I took a 4-hour nap. You can take a nap that's longer than your night's sleep. It's like, everyone should try it.
Do any of the four of us, if we can bring Dustin up as well. Do any of the four of us literally just climb into bed without any type of phone, computer, nothing? Just like go to bed, lay there, and fall asleep. Is that like a thing?
I wish.
Mm-mm. I watch Justin? I watch a different Disney sports movie to fall asleep every night.
Z Harp? Yeah, that just got weird. I don't go there.
Yeah, I don't like that. I fall asleep to the Great British Bake Off every night.
Like, it's so soothing. I think, and again, for optimal sleep and just health, I think we're supposed to, hey, it's time to tuck in and like climb into bed and just lay there and fall asleep.
Nobody
I have
wants
never
to
done
be
that.
Healthy. Get out of here. Nobody actually wants to be healthy. Being healthy is so boring. You see the people who are like influencers for health, they don't seem like fun people. Like, just let it go.
Yeah, you can have it, Daily Mail. I'd rather watch.
A long time ago, I worked my ass off and was in great shape, and I had like a hint of abs. And you know what? I was miserable. It sucks. Yeah. Never do it.
Overrated. Who cares? Mm-mm. Big guy, what did you say you watch before you sleep?
I go to the Disney Plus app. And they have like movies like Remember the Titans, The Rookie, The Mighty Ducks, D2, The Mighty Ducks Are Back. I have a whole conspiracy theory where I don't understand where Jesse Hall's brother goes in between the first Mighty Ducks into the second Mighty Ducks. And then he doesn't even reappear in the third one. His brother just magically disappears. That actually keeps me up at night. So I had to stop watching those two films.
Well, they're not going to put a kid's death in a Disney movie. It's not The Good Son or something like that. Like, you can't have that.
I will say, the Heat are your favorites outside of Portland to land Dame. It does make a ton of sense. Like, Bubba would be fine off ball. You know, like, it does make a ton of sense. To be fair, Dame in the Heat. No, Zach?
Oh, it absolutely does. Plus, you could probably sell Portland on those future draft picks of Miami being pretty good for you when we start getting to like 2027, 2029, those later on draft picks, if you have limited or no protections on them. The thing about that is you have to convince them that, you know, Tyler Hero is the main guy you get outside of the draft picks. I would say I don't think anyone wants to give him $120 million over the next 4 years, but the Wizards just agreed to give that to Jordan Poole in that trade. So I don't know. Maybe somebody will take Tyler Hero's contract.
Be interesting to see if they were to choose to do that. If you are Miami, are you making that move in 1 second? I mean, obviously Dame improves you drastically, but is it enough to get over the top for what you believe the Heat needs, giving up Hero and other picks?
100%. I think if Dame is healthy, they probably win that that finals. And that's not a knock on the Nuggets. It's just Miami couldn't really score, right? They couldn't shoot from the outside consistently. They couldn't score. Denver defended them so well. You add Damian Lillard to the mix instead of, you know, no offense to Gabe Vincent, who I love, but instead of Gabe Vincent or Kyle Lowry, that's just a completely different team. You don't need Bam to do as much. Dame is carrying the scoring load. Jimmy can play more off ball. Like you said, he's more physical. He's got more to give on defense. It balances things out. You add essentially a 40% 3-point shooter on high volume to a team that really struggled to make shots this year. And his defense is not good, but their team defense is great. I think it's a perfect balance. At worst, I think they become the perennial favorites in the East, not just like the surprise team that makes it to the NBA finals.
Has he provided in social media, in the social media era, has Dame Lillard provided the greatest meme in NBA history?
Well, he did that. He also provided the weakest excuse for why Welcome to Miami was playing in the background. Like he was on Instagram Live and Welcome to Miami is playing in 2023. And they want us to believe that was a coincidence or that was just the DJ, that no one listens to that. Maybe Swede, when he goes to sleep, listens to Welcome to Miami, but that, like, no one else listens to that in 2023. Like, it's the best meme and then the weakest excuse. I was so mad at Dame for that. Like, just own it. Just say, yes, I want to be traded. Portland is not going to turn their back on you. They love you. You're arguably the greatest Blazer ever, especially when you factor in the entirety of the career. They love you. They're not going to burn your jersey.
Hey, big guy, Poppy, welcome to Miami. Is it a bop?
Benvito's on Miami.
That was exactly almost it.
So for those that don't know, apparently Dame was at the club and Welcome to Miami was playing on in the background. That's the point of the story. Say that again, Dustin. What was your Spanish? Go again.
Benvito's on Miami.
More with Zach Harper next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Grew up in Sacramento. Number one Braves fan. Makes sense. More Zach Harper in a second here on Sharp Money. VSIN.com. That's where you find our betting splits, updated every 10 minutes straight from DraftKings. Money and bets for every game. Today's games and future events as well. Make sure you go check them out right now. VSiN.com for your betting splits. Zach Harper joins us. I'm Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Cinephobe is one of your podcasts, and I'm not trying to tell you how to run it, and I don't know if you do documentaries. It's a little dry, I'll be honest. It's a little dry, but I watched it again for the second time last night, and that is the PBS documentary, two-part series on Benjamin Franklin. And before you guffaw, he writer, scientist, inventor, statesman, diplomat, printer. I mean, he's a philosopher, one of the great statesmen of all time, essentially created the weather forecast. People sleep on Benjamin Franklin. Again, maybe your audience isn't into it, but PBS, Benjamin Franklin, Cinephobe, your thoughts, Zach Harper.
Can you sleep on someone from the 1700s? I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. My favorite Benjamin Franklin thing is that when the All-Star game for the NBA went to Philadelphia, I think 2001 or 2002, they made these Benjamin Franklin playing basketball bobbleheads. I still have it somewhere. He's like angry and about to like cross someone up. It looks kind of like a little bit of an Allen Iverson move happening. Like, that's the thing I love the most about Benjamin Franklin, is he was a bobblehead for All-Star weekend.
I'll buy that off of you, and I'm not lying. any facts off the top of the dome piece about Benjamin Franklin, big guy?
Yeah, he invented the $100 bill.
Invented it?
Yeah, he invented it. That's why he's on it.
Either. That's
Amal, yeah. Anything on Benjamin?
No, not really.
Okay.
Also, dude, I'm a Braves fan because my dad's from Atlanta. They were on TBS growing up. I got to watch like 100 Braves games a year.
You're a Braves fan like Benjamin Franklin's a Braves fan, dude. You're from Sacramento.
My dad's from Atlanta and watch them every day. I'm supposed to go, no, I like the Giants. Give me Will Clark. Get out of here with that.
But facts are, your dad raised you in Sacramento.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying.
He was at his 715th. He was there.
We were having a conversation off the air. Where'd you end up going to college? You went and toured Oregon. Oh. You got the hell out of there. Where'd you go?
San Diego State. Aztecs, baby.
Oh, that's right. Aztecs. Yeah. That's right. One of the best rants we've had on the show. Okay. outside of Dame, which is a potential trade, we then go to free agents. I As far as philosophy, I genuinely don't understand anybody wanting to sign Kyrie when you have somebody like a Van Vliet there. Van Vliet, a little bit older, I think, than many would think, 29, maybe going on 30, somewhere in there. Outside of those two, let's talk free agents. Looks like Harden's going to opt out. Maybe he re-signs with the 76ers and their potential landing spots. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I think the Harden thing, there was a lot of momentum and real loud rumors about him going back to Houston. People trying to figure out why. I think we know why. I think he likes the nightlife there. I think he's very comfortable in Houston. But over the last week or two, people around the NBA are saying, nah, it's not really a thing anymore. He's probably going to stay in Philadelphia. They're trying to make some moves to bolster that roster. Some confusion over whether or not they're actually shopping Tobias Harris or they would actually move him. Daryl Morey is being very difficult in negotiations, according to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. So there's a lot of kind of intrigue there, but maybe Draymond can be stolen from the Warriors if someone ups the ante. I mean, one of the underrated moves at the draft was the Kings used a trade exception to trade Rashawn Holmes to the Mavericks. And now they open up about $30 million in cap. I'm not saying he's going to leave them, the Warriors, for the Kings, but if you could start him at 30 mil a year and you've got Mike Brown there and it's not that far down the road, maybe Draymond, if he feels insulted by the Warriors, can use that as leverage. Van Vliet, I think it's either he stays in Toronto or he goes to Houston. Houston's about to make him a very big offer. Everyone else outside of that, maybe Brook Lopez will flirt with a team or two, but I think for the most part, we're waiting to see if Kyrie is going to re-sign in Dallas. And then from there, the Lakers are probably matching whatever gets thrown at Austin Reeves. I don't know if we're going to have a ton of movement in the free agent market, but I still think the trade market's super volatile.
You mentioned Draymond Green. Steve Kerr said at the end of the season, he absolutely wants him back to be, without him, they're not a championship contender. What type of contract could they potentially bring him back on if they do bring him back?
I mean, they can really pay him anything they want up to the max. It's just what's the luxury tax bill they're willing to get. But a lot of people are talking about the mid 20s, maybe around 25 million a year for 3 years. I think if you put pressure on him to leave and maybe the Kings try to get in there and steal him, or maybe, Houston's got a bunch of cap room, one of those teams, then he can use that as leverage and maybe bump that up to 30 million. I don't expect Draymond to leave. A lot of people don't, but you never know with this stuff. It is Draymond.
You mentioned Houston, potentially a landing spot for Van Vliet. Help me out here, because I was digging through them a little bit earlier today, Zach. I'm not sure if I'm obsessed with this team or can't stand them. They just draft Amen Thompson, mm-hmm. Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Şengün. There's so much, I guess, quote unquote, talent there, and I'm not even sure what it is.
I don't think anybody does. They're fun. They seem like the dopest AAU team out there, but right. I don't know what you make of them. And it's funny, you've heard a lot of things around the league of people saying it is like an AAU team. There's not a lot of accountability. I don't know if that's on the organization. I don't know if that was on Steven Silas. They bring in Ime Udoka to kind of clean things up a little bit. They've got so much cap room, and it seems like, at least when Harden was rumored to be considering them as much as he was, seemed like they could make a lot of moves. They could send some young guys out for veterans. They could go sign extra veteran outside of Harden. They have a lot of flexibility, but if it's just keep this young core together, man, they need Udoka to clean all of that up, because it was so bad last year. For all that untapped potential, you mentioned Rick Adelman earlier in the show. For one of my favorite quotes, Rick told us when I was covering him in Minnesota, he's like, potential gets coaches fired. And that seems like the Houston situation to a T. Yeah. There's so much potential there, but none of it seems tangible in a way that produces good team basketball yet.
You mentioned Houston. I want to talk about two guys, one who could potentially land in Houston. Brook Lopez, does he re-sign with the Bucks? Does he go to Houston? He finished second in the Defensive Player of the Year voting last year. And then Chris Middleton opts out of a $40 million contract this year. Where do you think he winds up?
I think both of them probably stay in Milwaukee. I think Brook is maybe more likely to move on. Houston seems to be in all those kind of betting odds for, hey, if a player leaves a team, here's the favorite. Houston has been listed consistently as the favorite to get him away from Milwaukee if someone does. They're also rumored to be the favorites if there is even a race for Dylan Brooks, but there's talk about him signing for a couple of years, maybe 15 a year on that front. And so they are trying to bring some veterans in to shape everything, but I expect the Bucks players to stay in Milwaukee. They've still got so much there that they can do. They still should be the best team in the East. They should still contend for titles. They just have to be healthy.
Zach, I don't know much, but I know for a fact Udoka, when he gets introduced to the administrative staff at the Rockets, he's going to be super professional. You know what I mean? He's going to be like, hello, pleasure to meet you.
Or he's watched the movie Double Jeopardy too much and thinks he can't get in trouble for the same thing twice. I don't know. I don't know why. Like, that's still a very confusing movie from a legal standpoint for me. And I've watched that movie a lot, mostly because I love Ashley Judd.
Wait, first of all, she looked great back in that movie, but what are you confused about?
I think it's like when people say, hey, you know, your wife can't get arrested for the crime that you do and all this. I don't think any of that's true. I think they can arrest you for anything. I don't think there are very many rules when it comes to spousal confidentiality. And I also don't think, like, I feel like you can get arrested again for the murder of someone, even if you got off the first time. I just don't believe that as a rule.
Well, first of all, spousal privilege applies, right? Your spouse can't testify against you. And the second one is she's accused of killing her husband. First of all, I want to know how you convicted Ashley Judd to begin with. Was the jury blindfolded?
The patriarchy. It's the patriarchy. You can just chalk it up to that.
Real talk, a weakness for me as a human being. I don't understand movies, and it doesn't have to be Da Vinci Code. Like, I start watching movies, I need somebody with me to explain them. I just get confused real quick. So whatever you guys are talking about, I'm sure I'd be confused.
It's a great movie. Tommy Lee Jones, Ashley Judd, and who else is in? Is there anybody else that I'm leaving out in that movie?
Oh man, who's the husband? The husband's like that classic
Jeff
like, creepy
Green
dude.
Greenway or something like that.
That sounds right. Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah.
IMDb it.
Can we talk?
I'm just saying, I struggle with movies.
We don't have much time here. Like, can we talk about how the Braves are the best team in baseball? I don't care what Tampa's record
ahead.
The Braves are the best team in baseball, and those bum ass New York Mets are once again not even close to contending in the East. They have this great April, May every year, and they throw a parade in Queens, and they're like, oh, the Mets, they're back. And then they just suck the rest of the year because the Braves are a much better organization. They're going to be champs again. They have the best offense in baseball. Ronald Acuna Jr. should be the MVP. Like, they're just like Matt Olson just bombing left and right. They've hitting home runs out of Acuna is stealing third like every other day. It feels like the red hot Reds come in there and oh my God, look at these Reds 2 out of 3. Like, just like, come on, get out of here with this. The Braves are the best team in baseball. We should celebrate them as such.
Dustin, do you ever retort?
Well, me and Zach used to be friends until today. So that was a fun ride for a few years.
Oh,
do
go
you have
watch
a minor league? Do you have a minor league team in Sacramento?
Rivercats. Yeah, they used to be the A's. Maybe they're the Giants affiliate now. Used to have season tickets.
Shout to the Rivercats. Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter. Jets are next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5, get $150 in bonuses instantly at DraftKings. Download the app, use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. You bet $5, you get $150 instantly. Remember, we do have our NFL betting guide coming out on Thursday. When you crack open the guide, you'll see Dave Tooley, electric breakdown of the Jets. You're going to love it. So let's talk about the Jets as we welcome you back, of course. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, I'm Patrick Maher. A little context to start. Last year, the Jets finished 7-10. That's their third straight double-digit loss season, 12th straight year of missing the postseason. That is a franchise record. Do you know that the Jets started 7-4 last year? Just a terrible stretch to end the year. The offense, in a word, was putrid. The defense, in a word, was tremendous. On to 2023. Now, you take a look at the betting numbers right now. You're second shortest in division at plus 270. Of course, the Bills in division, your favorites, at plus 120. As far as the Jets and the conference, fifth betting favorite, 11-1, tied with the Dolphins. 9.5 is the number for season win total. You want to bet the over, you got to pay a tax, $1.30. 16-1, somewhere in there as far as your Super Bowl odds. Let's start with the positives when it comes to the Jets, boys. The positives, Sauce Gardner, defensive rookie of the year, first team all pro. Awesome. How about Douglas had himself a draft? Garrett Wilson, offensive rookie of the year, 83 catches. Awesome. Now, if you're talking about the Jets onto the Super Bowl, we'll get to the big guy. He has a great futures bet on the Jets. Few teams jump from not making the postseason to the Super Bowl. However, you do have a 50% turnover rate as far as playoff teams each year, so it's not impossible. In fact, we just saw it a couple of years ago with Cincinnati in 2021. They didn't make the postseason the year before, onto the Super Bowl the next year. Why? The quarterback. Enter Aaron Rodgers. 39 years old, he's a champ, four-time MVP, and motivated. Super weird. A guy that needs motivation, likes to prove people wrong, likes to be a fake hippie, motivated, chip on his shoulder, is going to love New York. He's at a play right now, I promise you. Breece Hall, he returns ACL. He was awesome before he got injured. Mekhi Becton, who's been oft injured since he was drafted tackle out of Louisville. They're going to need him. Knee injury last year, missed the entire season. If he's healthy, protecting the blind side, that could be a good offensive line. Of course, you've got Lazard added, teammate with Rodgers and the Packers. Corey Davis, Mecole Hardman comes over. Tyler Conklin, actually, 58 catches as a tight end last year. So that's the offense. The defense, in one word, awesome. Tremendous to add another. Fourth overall in total defense last year. They bring back 9 starters on a defense that was great. They're loaded from front to back. Up front, Quinnen Williams. In the middle, Mosley. In the back, Sauce Gardner, who we discussed. Now, you want to see the Jets this year and you're outside of New York? Don't worry. 5 primetime games. That's the Aaron Rodgers effect. It is a team that, again, the schedule is interesting. And we can break down the schedule and I'll get your guys' take on this. Again, the win total set at 9.5. Anywhere you look, they're your 3rd to 7th toughest schedule in the NFL. Okay? They open against the Bills on Monday Night Football. They host Josh Allen and the Bills. Week 3 is interesting because they're at New England. The Pats have won 14 straight in the series. Remember last year, and I bring it up because of this. Remember last year, the Patriots won on a last second punt return to beat the Jets. And after the game, Zach Wilson took 0 responsibility. That's partly why Aaron Rodgers is now a Jet. Let's bring in the boys and talk about the Jets. That is, it's a quick breakdown, just an overview. You guys will have plenty of time in July to talk more about them. Good luck with it. But now, don't laugh, big guy. Now, let's talk about what you just heard. Is there anything that stands out, my breakdown as far as the Jets are concerned, Amal? 9.5 is the number on season wins.
I lean towards the over with this team. When you look at the addition of Aaron Rodgers and then Breece Hall got injured, if this offense can just remain on the field, you referenced the game against New England where Zach Wilson was terrible. This defense is elite. They just need an offense to not go 3 and out every time so they're not turning around and back on the field in 4 plays. If they can do that, I think this team's got a great shot. I know you mentioned the schedule is very challenging, opening up with the Bills at Dallas, Kansas City. I mean, they could be looking at a potential 1-3 yeah. start. But And you throw in Philadelphia in week number 6. I mean, you're talking potentially 2-4. If they can overcome the early part of the schedule, they have the Falcons, the Texans, the Commanders in the back end. So I think this team can be a contender. I'm telling you, I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers guy. I think he's a tremendous quarterback. My belief in him is what kind of makes me believe in the Jets.
Okay, so that schedule is exactly what we should focus on before the bye, big guy. And you can tell us the future number you got on the Jets. They host the Bills Monday Night Football. Remember, the Bills last year opened up against the champs in Los Angeles to open the season at the Rams and blew them out like 31-0. The Bills are going to be motivated. They're at the Cowboys. That ain't easy. Shout to Cowboy Central, a.k.a. VSIN. They then go, they've lost 14 straight to the Patriots. Chiefs at the Broncos, not going to be the same as last year. Host the Eagles, and then they head to their bye. That is a treacherous 6-game start to start the season, big guy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They have the best combo that I love to see applied, and that is a defensive-minded head coach with a veteran quarterback. I think this is a very smart way to do it. They're basically handing the keys of the offense to Aaron Rodgers, and they know their defense is going to keep them in games, so they're going to compete with everybody. And when you look at what the Jets have done, Aaron Rodgers has been a guy that over the last few years, the Green Bay Packers have taken weapons away from him, and they keep going going to him and saying, you need to do more to carry us further. You need to do more. We're going to take away and keep taking away. When you look at this Jets offense, he has more weapons than he's had since he had Jordy Nelson running in the slot, since he had James Jones and Randall Cobb in his prime. Like, this is a totally different look for Aaron Rodgers to get the ball to guys who can make a ton of plays. He has not had this kind of help before in at least, you know, 6-7 years. I think that's one aspect we're totally underrating.
Poor Aaron Rodgers. All I took from your little rant there was you feel badly for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't feel badly. This is a thing in the NFL. They did it to Tony Romo all the time. They'd go, Tony, we want you to be better next year, but you have two less good receivers to work with. Hey, Tony, we want you to be better, but you don't have any run game to work with. Tony, you don't have a left tackle, but we expect you to play better next year. And it keeps happening with veteran quarterbacks. Veteran quarterbacks need help too. They're people too, Patrick.
Good job. Good exclamation. Would you bet the Jets at?
I bet them on February 13th, 25-1. I came back on March 9th at 16-1. And I don't care if it's super short. I went at on April 24th. I did 14-1. I still think they should probably be around 10-1. I think they're that loaded.
Tend to agree with you. I think Buffalo is a good team, but I don't think Buffalo is going to have the type of season they've had the last couple of years. I think this Jets team can win this division. I'm not a believer in Miami as much as maybe some other people are. I don't know where you guys come out on the Pats, but to me, Patrick, I tend to agree with Dustin here. I know you're not a Rodgers guy, but man, this team's going to be dangerous.
No, I mean, listen, he's a good boy. He's good. He's super good. He wasn't great last year. Now, part of it has to do with this person, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you could argue he's the most talented player at the position of all time. So there is no discussion as far as just like arm strength, accuracy, innate abilities as a quarterback. He's amazing. He's just as a human being, he's troubling. And, you know, you wish the best for somebody like that, but he's confused. He's searching for meaning in life. He's exploring consciousness. He's absolutely crushing ayahuasca, which honestly seems fun. Like, if somebody were up for it in July, I can't go to Paris. I'll go to Honduras and do ayahuasca. Like, I'll totally do it. I'm not against it.
I think you just go to Arizona.
I'm just saying, if I did ayahuasca, it's not to find myself. It's to get an awesome buzz. You know, like, I found myself. I'm 45. He's not that much younger than me. They're like, pull yourself together. Dude, go to a counselor, a couple therapy sessions. You'll be good to go. Get some sun exposure. I don't know, lay off the booze a little bit and just chill. You're fine, Aaron. Anyway, so Rodgers. My thing on the Rodgers, it's not necessarily like their offense is going to be fine. It's what you both said. And when talking about a team like this, you have to start with the defense. Fourth overall defense last year on a team that's loaded and brings back 9 of 11 starters. And they should only get better. Like, Sauce Gardner is going to be better in year two. And he could have been your defensive player of the year last year. This defense, Quinnen Williams continues to get better every year. Mosley healthy last year for the first time in the middle. Like, this is a defense that I think could be better.
Well, you look at all three levels. They've got elite talent. Williams, you mentioned C.J. Mosley in the middle at the linebacker position. Then, of course, Sauce Gardner. They hit on their first-round picks with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. I just think when you have an offense that can sustain drives and they don't have to punt every fourth play, I think it's going to help this defense immensely.
All right. That is the sharp money breakdown of the Jets. If you want another and more thorough breakdown, on Thursday it drops, and that is Dave freaking Tooley. That's incredible. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So we got the guide on Thursday. You can also get the picks. Same price for both. $19 to start. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's easy. So when you get the picks every single day, easily sortable, follow hosts and guests, top VSiN expert leaderboard, it's all there. Make sure you check it out. We got you back. We're going to go 3-point stance NFL news to continue our little theme with our guide dropping on Thursday. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice start to your week. Must be a rough one for Dustin Sweetelson, executive producer of the program. A mid-show run to the Starbucks at South Point? Look at it. It's a big dog, too. Is that a Trenta?
Mm. I need a little pick me up today. A little bump before the show ends.
What is that, a Trenta? Is that as big as it gets?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at me. Do you think I ever order anything other than the biggest size possible?
Do you put cream and sugar in it?
I did coconut milk, some healthy fats to keep me full, and two stevias, and then the sugar-free vanilla.
Dude, that's terrible.
It's like 180 calories.
Hey, real question. Would you do, if I signed up for it, would you do ayahuasca with me?
I think you're supposed to do it with people.
Oh, cool. Amal, you want to do some drugs?
No, I'm good. Thanks. I appreciate the offer.
I actually have heard a lot of, my only fear of doing the hallucinogenics, I don't know how to say it, psychedelics, is having a bad trip. Like, I'm terrified of that. Like, all of a sudden it becomes a 6-hour anxiety attack in another dimension. Like, that sounds horrible to me. But everything I've read up on ayahuasca is that there are no bad trips. Everything is good. It triggers something in your brain that only makes you feel good about things.
I just want to say, just for VSiN and everybody at DraftKings, I'm not talking about illegal substances. I'm talking about the ones that Aaron Rodgers did. My assumption is they're legal.
No, he's trying to get them legal, I believe. He's on a crusade at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah. So we just
he was trying to legalize ayahuasca sitting on the wood at the Knicks game?
It's his thing. He just spoke at some conference. I just saw a clip from it. He spoke at some conference about the benefits of psychedelics.
Cool. Do you, Aaron? Do you? Hey, we're going to get to 3-point stance, which is NFL news, but quickly, it's going well for Alek Manoah. He had his first start in rookie ball today. Let's see. Lasted 2 2/3, 10 hits, 11 earned, 2 home runs against rookie ball kids. That's a guy. It just cracks me up because I'm not going to say any names, and because we all get everything wrong before the season start, but the amount of people that had the Padres winning the World Series and Alek Manoah winning the Cy in the AL is innumerable. And Manoah just gave up 11 earned over 2 2/3 in rookie ball. Okay.
And there's part of me that wants to justify it and say, well, you know, he's not down there just looking for results. He's working on things. But like, I think that excuse only works if it was like AAA or AA. Like, rookie ball is like, there are guys in rookie ball right now that this is the best it will ever be for the most part. Like, a lot of that roster is guys that won't ever advance to regular single A or into double A. Like, these are nobodies, and he's struggling that bad.
It's not great. Let's get to the NFL news. Of course, we've got Adam Burke. We'll get back into the baseball coming up at the top of the hour. 3-point stance, big guy. Where are we starting?
Oh, I think DeAndre Hopkins is like Dame Lillard. I think he just likes attention at this point. Like, he likes being courted, and I respect it because one day someone might court me, so I'd be into it. But I think DeAndre Hopkins is only in it right now because he's enjoying meeting with everyone, and everyone's saying how great he is and what kind of impact he can make on their team. Because right now, according to Dove Kleiman on social, the Panthers and Browns are, quote unquote, lurking to sign DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if he wants to go to a team that's probably the third best contender in the AFC North. I just don't see him going there.
Well, and then he's also already has offers on the table from New England and Tennessee. And you understand why those guys make sense. You understand why the Browns make sense with the connection to Deshaun Watson. I think the Panthers are super intriguing, though, after losing DJ Moore in that trade with Chicago.
This is officially a June 27th conversation. Like, Hopkins is fine, and he will help a team. But, I mean, come on. I think you're right. I think there's something to it. The destinations we had heard, correct me if I'm wrong, boys, but it was the Patriots and Titans.
Yep.
And now, I just saw Carolina's lurking, Cleveland's lurking for sure, Palantonio has reported. I don't know. How many catches last year? Do either of you know?
Well, he was suspended. Right? Wasn't he suspended?
Let's see. He played last year, though. Let's see.
Played in 9 games, and he had 64 catches.
That's pretty good. That's actually much better. That's 31, took a little bit of a break last year, some PEDs allegedly. So you get him maybe not as, 9 games last year, 10 games the year before. So he's going to have plenty of juice. 64 catches in 9 games. Wow. Maybe I'm being disrespectful. Those are pretty good numbers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, Albert Breer is refuting the report of Cleveland being involved. Apparently Elijah Moore has impressed Cleveland through minicamp, and they think he might be a better option than Nuke right now.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. We'll see what happens, where he ends up. DeAndre Hopkins, it may be the best hands I've ever, maybe best set of hands or right up there as far as I've ever seen. Next, let's go.
All right. This is relevant betting info wise. Indianapolis Stars Nate Atkins believes Gardner Minshew has a chance to start week one. I mean, I think that really impacts how you look at the Colts from a futures standpoint and how much you value a guy like Gardner Minshew, who I don't know about you guys, but I think everyone overrates him.
I think he's one of the better backups in the league. I think he's a very solid backup, and that's who he is.
But what does that mean?
Like, he's a guy who might play well for you in a situational spot, one or two games, but you're not going to have tremendous success with him over 17 games.
Yeah, he hit the freaking lottery because he's a buster. Let's be fair. It's Gardner Minshew. He's going to collect, I don't know, fellas.
A few million.
Few? He's going to, by the time his career is done, is he going to make 25 mil?
No.
20 mil?
Well, don't say that so vehemently.
If he plays for 6 more years?
Oh, no. How much does he make now?
He's not probably making a ton of money, but still, I mean.
But makes a mil and a half. He probably makes two and a half.
Well, he's made $5 million so far in his career.
Okay.
He's made $5 million?
It's pretty good. Hey, I got a quote for you from a professional football player. Tell me who said this. And if you already know Dustin, don't ruin it. Let them all guess. Once they made my wife cry, that was pretty much over. Want to take a stab?
I'm just trying to think who would be.
Derek Carr? Yes. He said, once they made my wife cry, that was pretty much over. Derek Carr, he loves his family. He loves Jesus and he loves his family. He said,
and America
I was
too.
In America. Yep. All good things. I was, for lack of a better term, I was very upset. I was mad, Carr told the Fresno Bee. You spent 9 years in a place. You have all the records. You could play at a high level. And for something to get in the way, whether it was whatever reason, money related or whatever, injury related, I would have said, I don't even want the money. Just to play 2 more times in front of our fans. I didn't get that opportunity. So it definitely lit a fire inside me to keep going. He was asked if, you know, are we going to let bygones be bygones? He said, quote, once they made my wife cry, that was pretty much over. Once they made her cry, that was out.
You know, you brought it up a few times on the show, and you're correct in terms of the head coach, Josh McDaniels, his isolation from the team on the sidelines. It's not a good look. And to me, look, we're not talking about Derek Carr like he's Dan Marino, but I still thought there could have been a modicum of respect given to him in terms of what he's been able to do for this franchise. The team was going nowhere. I just didn't understand this move. This reminds me a little bit, not on the same level, the move we saw by Ben McAdoo with the Giants and Eli
Geno
Manning.
Smith.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like I just didn't get it. What do you? You're not going anywhere. Benching Eli, it just didn't make sense to me here to kind of just completely fracture the relationship.
If we're listing head coaches we want to have a beer with, McDaniel's somewhere between 29 and 32.
I'm trying to think who would be below him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say between 40 and 50. We'd take some fired head coaches first.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone I would take. I would take him over.
I'm going to need you
Ron
to think
Rivera.
About that.
I would take him but over Ron Rivera.
Yeah, but you can't say it because he had cancer.
Yeah, it's tough.
Good guy in the room. I'm trying to think if there's somebody that bores me that I would prefer have a beer with less. Josh McDaniels has got to be at the top of the. He's right there. Good for you, Josh.
I think Mike Tomlin's number one though.
Want to have a beer with?
I love.
You ever
Mike
heard
Tomlin.
Of a guy? You ever heard of a goofball named Dan Campbell?
No, I don't want to get arrested that night.
Are you kidding? You'd be upside down over a keg in 10 minutes. We're back with Burke.